John chapter 4, from verse 9 to verse 16. Jesus at the well at Sychar, talking to the Samaritan woman. As we have seen, Jesus asked this Samaritan woman, verse 7, for a drink. At verse 9, she answers. And how does she answer? Well, you have to remember the background, the Samaritan condition. And the Samaritan woman answers Christ, the Jew, in the typical Samaritan Jew way. You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? John puts in brackets, parentheses, the explanation so that we can understand. How is it that a Jew might not ask a Samaritan for a drink? Well, if we didn't have the brackets, we could work it out from the parable of the Good Samaritan. As I said in the previous discourse, the man who was talking to Jesus, and Jesus answering him said, who was the one that befriended this poor man who fell among thieves and robbers? He should have said Samaritan, the Samaritan. He would have said the priest or the Levite, but he said the one who helped him, because he could not even take the word Samaritan onto his lips. Jews and Samaritans have no dealings with each other. Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jews do not even drink from cups and vessels used by Samaritans. They don't go to their homes. Jews didn't go to the homes of Gentiles. They didn't eat with them. They don't associate with Samaritans. And she answers in the traditional way. So you're a Jew. I can see that. I'm a Samaritan, and you know that. And yet you ask me for a drink. Jesus replies to her. Jesus answers. Verse 10. Now how does he answer her? Well, he doesn't answer her. He doesn't bite on this tradition, on this history, on this racial prejudice, on this bias. He doesn't go into this historical angst and bitterness. There's a warning for us, believer. When we're dealing with unbelievers, they'll try and sidetrack us, sometimes unconsciously, but sometimes deliberately. We must not bite on their distractions and get led away. How does Jesus answer her? If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him. And he would have given you living water. He arouses her curiosity. What is he talking about here? Living water, the gift of God. Well, it's all about himself. If you only knew who it is that asks you, if you only knew who I am, what I'm asking for, no, what I would give you, you would have asked me. If you knew what I was offering you, what I have for you, who I am, and what I can give you, if you knew about me, and what I will do for you, what I have for you. There's the difference. Believer, this is what we must do in our preaching, and I mean by preaching in the widest possible sense. We must offer Christ and speak of Christ, not get drawn away into side issues. If you knew the gift of God, if you knew what I have, living water, you would ask me, me, me. It is the Christ. Unbeliever, are you listening? I keep saying it, but will you listen to it? It's not church or creed or confession. It's not religiosity. It's not Christianity, Christendomness then. It's Christ. It's Christ. The woman comes back. Sir, she said, now there's a bit more respect here. You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? But she gets back into her distracting mode again. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? History again, tradition again, prejudice again, it's all coming out here. And she's thinking, naturally she's thinking, in the superficial way. Unbeliever, you don't understand about living water and the gift of God. You see, the world says, seeing is believing. But the truth is, believing is seeing. Once you've tasted, you will know what the gift of God is. And you will know what living water is. This is how the woman responds. And then Jesus comes back. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Even I will, as a man, this ordinary water. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. He uses the aorist here. That's the Greek tense, which means do it once and the effect lasts permanently. Once you drink this living water, once you've tasted of me, once you've trusted in me, this is what he's saying. Things are never the same again. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give him, the water I give him will be in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Eternal life, the internal work. Of course, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking of the grace of salvation. He's speaking of the forgiveness of sins. He's speaking of everlasting joy and all the rest. She doesn't understand, of course. But he's putting it bluntly to her. Whatever you drink apart from me, whatever you taste apart from me, will never, never satisfy. Are you listening, unbeliever? Now, none but Christ can satisfy. There's no other name for me. If only you would know this. Christ is all in all. Once you've tasted Christ, once you've known Christ, once you've trusted Christ, you'll never look back. Verse 15, the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Of course, she doesn't understand. She's mixed up. She thinks the water will, this living water will save her coming out every day to pick it up. And then we get verse 16. He told her, Go call your husband and come back. Well, that's nothing to do with it. Oh, yes, it's everything to do with it. And it's the punchline of this discourse. And the vital line, too. So important today. You see, many today, at this point, dealing with unbelievers, what do? They offer happiness. They offer carnal pleasures. They offer carnal satisfaction. Carnal fulfillment and the pleasures of this life in some way, some fulfillment. I'm speaking of the churches now, which are growing and throbbing. Temples of happiness and pleasure and fulfillment and satisfaction and friendliness and all that kind of thing. And yet Christ does not deal with that. He doesn't offer that. He doesn't offer, well, I'll save you coming out here to pick this water every day. I've got this, make it easier for you. He goes and asks for her husband. What's the point? In her case, this is the point. Because the point he's driving home is, at this point in the sinner dealing with Christ, the unbeliever dealing with Christ, it is the question of sin. Sin. He is the Savior. He's not first and foremost the satisfier, the pleasure giver, the happy maker. Of course, once a man or a woman has their sins forgiven, eternal life, there is everlasting happiness. There is real pleasure and fulfillment and satisfaction. But here is the nuance. Unbeliever, we are not offering you pleasure, satisfaction, happiness. In the first instance, you need to be saved from your sins. And Jesus came into the world to be the Savior. And that's what he's saying to this woman. You're a sinner. Oh, you're a Samaritan, I'm a Jew, yes, but the main point is you're a sinner. You come for physical water, but you need to be washed from your sins. And the water I give you, if you will trust me, is everlasting salvation. Salvation is the theme here. In verse 44, when all this is over and the men of the town speak about it, they say, now we know what? That this man you've spoken about, and we've come to know, who is he? What is he? Well, he's the happy maker. He's the satisfier. No, he is the Savior of the world, the only Savior, our Savior. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. That's John 3. He did not only come to seek. It was to save he came. John 3 again. And when we call him Savior, then we call him by his name. And that's this passage here. Go call your husband. Jesus is driving to this very point. You need a Savior. And of course, I am the gift of God. I have the living water. I can save you from your sins. Believer, brother and sister, this is what we must offer to those who will hear us. An unbeliever, listen to me. This is what you need. You need to be saved from your sins, for we are all sinners. I am. You are. Jesus is the only Savior in the whole world. Will you receive him? Will you receive him now? I urge you to. Jesus puts his finger on the spot. You are a sinner, friend. But he is the gift of God. He offers everlasting salvation. Oh, do I plead with you. Receive him. Believe him. Trust him now.